The New Testament reading comes from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. You can find it on page 1163 in the Pew Bibles. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends.
I was wondering if the choir would come down, sit down the front. A wise general once said, never fire till you can see the whites of their eyes, so we're okay. I want you to look at the pictures of these four people that we're going to have on the screen. I wonder if you know what they all have in common. They all knew how to persevere. Noah Webster spent 36 years compiling his dictionary. Now, it might have been faster if he'd have been born in the computer era, but he spent 36 years travelling between America and England compiling the words for the first Webster's dictionary. 36 painstaking years, but he persevered. Thomas Edison conducted over 10,000 experiments trying to invent the first battery. Simple battery that you and I use just about every day. Over 10,000 experiments. And he said, I ended up finding out what didn't work. I needed to find out what would work. So he kept at it. John Wesley suffered humiliation and rejection many times trying to bring the gospel to England. Let me read you an extract from his diary. Sunday the 5th of May, a.m. Preached at St. Anne's. Was asked not to come back anymore. p.m. Preached at St. John's. Was told to get out and stay out. 12th of May, a.m., preached at St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday the 19th a.m., preached at St. Somebody Else's, and the deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. P.M., preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday the 26th of May, preached in a meadow, somebody let the bull loose, and I was chased out. Sunday the 2nd of June, preached on the edge of town, was told to move on. PM, preached in a pasture, and 10,000 people came to hear me without a lip mic. I added that bit. Greg Louganis, the former Olympic champion and several times over, practiced each dive 3,000 times before each Olympics to get it right. So here's his record. They all knew how to persevere. We are called to persevere in the Christian life. So we come to the final in our series, His Story, Our Story. It's a call to persevere. The price of sin, we heard last week, has been paid. You and I have been graciously invited to accept the gift. And having done that, what's left? The need to persevere. And we pick it up in those words that Elaine read to us from Philippians chapter 3. I've not already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward that which is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Paul longs to know Christ in all his fullness. For him, it's the all-surpassing excellence that he wants to know, Christ in his fullness. He longs for Christ's resurrection power to transform him. He wants to become more like Jesus. He wants to share in the fellowship of his suffering. And as his life's goal, he wants to obtain the resurrection and to be with Christ forever. Is that what you want? Is that your life's goal? Is it your heart's desire to go and be with Christ forever? Does the thought of everlasting life with Jesus spur you on? I think I've told you about Henry Venn, the reformer of centuries ago now, who, when his family told him he didn't have long to live, gave him such an adrenaline boost he lived for 3 further months. The thought of going to heaven just captured him so much he lived longer than anybody thought he would. Paul longed to finish the race. He wasn't there yet, so he said, I press on, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead. The picture of an athletics race was well known in ancient Greece, home of the Olympics, home of the Corinthian or Isthmian Games, and countless others. He pictures the Christian life as a race to be run and the prize of eternal life to be collected. I am no stranger to athletic carnivals, let me tell you. I've been attending them at Homebush Bay and Melbourne and Newcastle for 10 years to watch my grandson's race. One of them in particular races at national level. I've heard my family discussing times, tactics, the need to train, the need to forget a bad race and focus on what's ahead and keep your eye only on the finish line, and the need to put everything into it, striving for a personal best. That's what you strive for every time you race, a personal best, a PB. And when they start in little athletics, they give awards at the end of the year for the person who's got the most PBs, i.e. the person who's kept on improving and persevering with their running. In any race, in any journey, and in the Christian life, the only part of the journey that matters is the part still ahead of you. What's happened in the past is gone. The part that matters in any journey is the part that's ahead of you, the part between you and the finish line. Forget what is behind and strain to reach the end, no matter how tough it might be. I well remember my grandson's first national championships in Melbourne. He was probably ranked the fifth fastest 14-year-old runner in Australia over 400 metres. He'd moved up from the 100-200 metre range to run the 400. He went down sort of as the reserve for the New South Wales representatives, but he got a race. He forgot about his ranking, focused on the race ahead, and collected the silver medal. After the race, I said to him, "How are you feeling?" And he said, "I'm busted. I'm in pain." He had put everything that he could possibly muster into running the race. And I remember looking at the boy who really, from New South Wales, who was ranked higher than him, who finished fourth, who threw his running shoes off in disgust and walked away, that he'd been beaten on the day. Our Christian life is a race. It's not a sprint, though. We are called to persevere, to faithfully grow in our knowledge and love of Jesus, and to experience his resurrection power in our daily life, to take our share of suffering, identifying with him as we witness for him, to spend more time with him as we focus on the finish line. If I may say it gently to us all this morning, most of us are in the home straight. Most of us have got more of the race behind us than we have ahead of us. But the only part that matters from today on is the part you've got ahead of you. As you race to the finish line, you need to stay focused. So let me say something about how to focus. If you've ever watched an athlete or a swimmer, if you've watched the Olympic Games or any of those big meetings, you'll see that they go into a kind of a zone to focus. Their mind is on the race. They're planning how they will run or swim. They're thinking only about getting a good start and a strong finish and a pretty good middle part as well. But they try to obliterate everything else out of their mind. They're coached to forget the previous races. They're coached to forget the people around them and to just run their own race. They're focused on keeping their mind on the finish line ahead of them. Some of you will remember the Empire Games in 1954, the very famous mile race between, well, we had John Landy in it representing Australia, and they had Roger Bannister and Chris Chataway representing England. They were the three fastest milers in the world at that point, and John Landy was the fastest from Australia. As they came toward the final bend, John Landy was in front. Then he took his eye off the finish line. He turned around to see where Bannister was. And those of you who remember it know that in that split second, Bannister ran past Landy and the race belonged to Roger Bannister. John Landy took his eye off the finish line. He didn't even get a medal. He'd lost focus and was well beaten. What the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage us all here is to not lose focus as we run to the finish line. Some of the people in the Philippian church had lost focus. Their minds, he wrote, are on earthly things. The things of this world preoccupied them. So that reminds us to ask ourselves the question, where is your focus? What are you focused on as you run to the finish line? Are you really focusing on the things of Christ? Yeah, sure, you come to church, but where's your focus really? That's what we need to keep asking ourselves. Is our focus on the things of this world that can so busily preoccupy us? That's what it was for some of these Philippian church members. They loved the world and all it offered, the physical realm, and they loved it without restraint. So this passage is asking you, where is your mind focused, heaven or earth? Heaven is where your true citizenship is. That's what you need to be thinking about as you run down the final straight. Forget what's past. Think about the now and tomorrow, and will you run with your mind focused on heaven? Another way to ask the question is this. When you die, will you be going home or leaving home? That will tell you what's most important to you. When you die, will you be going home or leaving home? What is your mind on? It's so easy for the world to come in and crowd out the things of God. So as he wrote to the Romans, don't let the world squeeze you into its mould and push out the things of God. Seek the things that are above, he wrote to the Colossian Christians. He knew how easy it is to let the things of this world take over. And the writer to the Hebrews, using that same picture of a race, urged them to throw off everything that would entangle and distract them in the race of life. When you entered the stadium to run at the time of the Olympics and the time of which Paul was writing, each competitor left their clothing at the entrance to the stadium, every shred of it. They didn't have women races, for those ladies who are thinking about perhaps what it might have been like to be running around the track with nothing on. They only had males racing, but they had to leave their clothing at the entrance to the stadium and run with nothing on so that nothing would hinder them in the race. What the Bible is trying to say is get your focus on heaven. Get your focus on the things of this world. Focus on the finish line and persevere. And as we persevere and focus on the end, we need encouragement. As I said, my grandson Ben has been running at Homebush Bay since he was 7 years old. He came down to run for his zone in the under eights. I remember the first time walking over with him, almost hand in hand, to take him over to the start line of the 200 on the other side of the stadium. And what we used to do, and probably still do, is posted ourselves in various members of the family around the track. His father would be at about, when he started running the 400, his father would be at about the 200 or the 150. I would go to about the 300 metres with the final bend coming up. His other grandfather would be down near the finish line. We didn't call out like one daggy dad we heard about this week, run, Forrest, run. We simply called out, run, Ben, run. Run, Ben, run. Or go, Ben, go. And as you and I are running the Christian race, Jesus is in the stands. And he's calling out, run, pilgrim, run. And he, because he knows our names, he's not calling out pilgrim. He's saying, run, Nolene, run. Run, John, run. Run, 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 pilgrim, run. And he knows all our names. He's saying, run, Claire, run. because he's there to encourage us to run the race. We're not running it on our own. Run, Esma, run, he's saying. Run to the finish line. And when you run to the finish line, guess what? He's going to be there as well. As you persevere in your Christian life. I remember my other grandson, whom I haven't told you about, he was more of a distance runner. He loved cross countries. First time he and his brother came down to run in the cross countries from their little school in Tamworth, they came in the 90s out of about 130 boys. They didn't really have a clue what a cross country was about, but they came to represent their school and they finished in the 90s. They realised that they had to put a bit of work in here because they weren't happy with being in the 90s. They went home and with their father they began to do 5 kilometre runs every second morning. I remember watching my eldest grandson, Josh, when he came down to run. By this time, they'd moved it from Fairfield Farm to Eastern Creek. I remember going out to Eastern Creek to watch him run and have a top 5 finish in the cross country. He was determined to persevere till he worked out how to run across country. He wasn't going to be somewhere in the 90s. That's what the Christian life's about. Focus, perseverance, living with Jesus, longing to live in resurrection power, wanting to be transformed, wanting to know more about Jesus. You can just feel it in the way Paul writes. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be transformed to live like him. I want the things of the world to fade away. I don't want them to be the things that I put my focus on. I want the things of the world to go strangely dim in the light of his glorious face. Let me finish by talking about the call to the podium. The call to the podium is something to look forward to if you're an athlete. That you receive that call to stand on the podium. The podium at Homebush Bay, they have this little podium with 3 things and all on different levels. The gold one in the middle, silver one on one side and the bronze. You've all seen it in the Olympics. And you'll see the athletes who've won sitting in the little waiting zone until their names are called up. And then they stand on that and someone takes their photo. It's all very exciting. Grandparents are there taking photos. The Apostle Paul looked forward to his podium finish with God. So he wrote to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. He looked forward to his podium finish with the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine what it'll be like when he calls your name? Home. You'll be home. Race run. Prize yours. If you won in the Olympic Games, you got a laurel wreath. If you won in the Corinthian Games, you got a wreath of celery. Each of those were meant to remind you how fleeting fame is. But when you stand on the podium with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be given the crown of righteousness, eternal life, new body, community of heaven, life with Jesus, and the community of heaven forever. Is that what your eyes are fixed on? Let me just encourage us all again today just to keep running and to keep focused and to persevere, to continue to run. There's one in the stands who's constantly calling, run, run, go hard, run. And he'll be there at the finish line. Persevere, focus, and keep your mind on the heavenly realities, but above all, run to the finish line. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus to pay the price so that we can run the race that's set before us, knowing that we run to the prize of the resurrection, to eternal life, and of life in heaven with you. Father, help us in a world where there are many distractions to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and to persevere in the race of life till we come to that time when we can stand on the podium and receive the crown of life. Help us to throw aside the things that would hinder us and focus only on Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.